This is Talk for Food. Your portal into quantum possibility. I'm Adam Abraham. Each week, I'll be your guide on this expedition, where we'll explore the near and far reaches of this thing called life on Earth and beyond. Talk for Food is brought to you by Philos Books, whose titles for the mind and heart reflect a passion for humanity. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Talk for Food. I'm your host, Adam Abraham, here on WebTalkRadio.net. We're going to talk about cancer today, and I could give you a lot of statistics on the pervasiveness of it, the incidence, the likelihood, and everything else, but you know, cancer is, and it really doesn't matter what the disease is, but cancer is going to be the one we talk about today, or we'll focus on. But it's really pretty binary. You either have it or you don't. Someone that you love has it or they don't. You're concerned about getting it or you're not. It's pretty simple. And frankly, many people, too many people, have it and they're trying to figure out how to get rid of it and do more than survive it. Who wants to be a cancer survivor? Who wants to really have their life defined by getting past this state of disease? What you want to be, and what I would certainly feel that is the real desire, is you want to live. You want to live again. You want to be healthy. And frankly, for most people in our society that's going through the traditional means of treating cancer, being healthy again is really not an option. Surviving is really the only option, and so typically that's really all they look for. Well, a growing number of people are looking to live again, not just survive cancer, to be free of it, and also to be free of the fear of it. Now, with that said, Jim Humble is going to be joining us again, the developer of the MMS protocol and author of the book Breakthrough, the Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century. And today, we're going to talk about cancer and MMS. MMS is not the only way of addressing issues such as cancer and many other diseases, but it is one way that really is beginning to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And so the interest is very great in MMS and in the protocol, and as such, and also, there's great interest in mitigating the effects of cancer, avoiding or conquering. How about that? Let's be conquerors. Better than that, let's not get it in the first place. So, with that said, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to delve into the subject of cancer and MMS with Jim Humble here on Talk for Food on WebTalkRadio.net. Stay tuned.
Dr. Alan Pressman.
There are almost 400 pages to this book, 369 to be exact. Every page is chock full of information. You know, you just mentioned that 68% of Americans don't consume the RDA of magnesium. 19% of Americans do not even consume half of the RDA. And probably the RDA is too low to begin with. He's right. Magnesium, crucial. 68% of us in this country do not consume enough of this incredible mineral involved in 325 enzymatic reactions in our body, most of them concerning the generation of energy. And baby, you need energy to heal. Very, very much so. The name of the book is Transdermal Magnesium Therapy. The author is Dr. Mark Sirkis. He's a researcher and a clinician, and I'm very impressed with this book, very impressed with the information.
Your power to maintain and restore well-being is enhanced when you know what magnesium naturally does for you and the wide-ranging consequences of deficiency. In addition, Dr. Sirkis introduces a simple but elegant way to replenish the body's stores of Mother Nature's catalyst for health. Order your copy of Transdermal Magnesium Therapy today at Amazon.com and find bookstores everywhere.
Nuclear wall, yeah. Nuclear wall, yeah. They're talking about, yeah. Nuclear wall.
Thank you for listening to Talk for Food. This is Adam Abraham on WebTalkRadio.net. The subject of MMS is something that is growing. It is becoming meaningful to more people every day. Traffic on blogs, my own included, my Thought for Food blog, the MiracleMineral.org site, HealthSalon.org, they're all growing because people are telling others about it. And things are changing very rapidly. Jim Humble, the developer of the MMS protocol, joins me again to just talk a little bit, about one of the major, major areas of opportunity with respect to MMS. There's so many, but cancer is something that is on everybody's mind. And in addition, we want to talk about what's new since the last time we talked. So first of all, Jim, thank you for joining me again. It's a pleasure to have you here.
My pleasure to be here.
I think one of the places where we might want to begin is perhaps to talk about some of the things, before we jump into the real meat of our conversation about cancer, is to talk a little bit about some of the new things that have occurred or new developments. I know you've changed some of the protocols, or you've modified, I won't say changed, but the protocol seems to be evolving.
Yes, I'm learning a little bit more and doing some more tests and getting a lot more data from people who call in and talk and people who've been taking it and people who've had success with it and that sort of thing. And so I'm just getting a little bit more data, and as I get more data, I do some tests. And I, for one thing, for example, I determined that it's really more effective to take it on an empty stomach. And before, we were saying, and a lot of people was agreeing with me that you could take it on either an empty or a full stomach, and you still can, and you still get effect from it. But the actual best effect, the most effect that you get if you want the most effect, is from an empty stomach. Testing it out, I can add food to it, and it cancels out the chlorine dioxide faster. The chlorine dioxide dies away faster when it's in a bunch of food than if it is in an empty stomach. An empty stomach maintains a acid condition that is just right for chlorine dioxide, just right for the MMS to create what the body needs, the chlorine dioxide. And of course, the chlorine dioxide goes into the red blood cells in the walls of the stomach. And one of the things that's amazing is that the red blood cells cannot tell the difference between chlorine dioxide and oxygen. So the red blood cells picks up the chlorine dioxide and carries it all over the body. And it does that more efficient when there is nothing else in the stomach. And you don't have to do that because it can make you sick or it can make you nauseous when you don't have anything in the stomach. And it takes a little bit stronger stomach to do it, but in the long run, it does give you a little bit better results.
Well, it kind of makes sense that if there's no food in the stomach, that first of all, is less work to do. There's not as much to wade through, so to speak. And also, the food in there could actually change the chemical balance and makeup of the stomach itself as well.
That's exactly right. The food does have a tendency to change the chemical balance, and consequently, and it just sort of cancels out some of the effect of the chlorine dioxide. Luckily, it don't cancel it all out. It just seems to reduce it some.
The other thing is that it seems that if you do it on an empty stomach, you can probably use fewer drops to get the same effect, or as effective of an effect.
Yeah, that's the fact. You can use fewer drops for the same result.
That's some clarity. Now, what about time of day? Okay, we've got the empty stomach question down, but is there a time of day that's best?
Well, that's still sort of up in the air a little bit about which is the best time of day. If you're taking vitamin C, the best time of day is by far in the morning. If you wake up in the morning and you take your MMS in the morning, then you wait 3 or 4 hours to take your vitamin C, you're going to get the most effect out of your MMS that way, because the vitamin C is going to have a tendency to cancel a lot of it out. It won't be able to get it to it all, but it'll cancel some of it out at the end of 4 hours. But if you did it in reverse order, you took your vitamin C first, then you'd already have vitamin C in your stomach, even and in your intestines and tract. So what you would have a tendency to have some vitamin C still left. So you're better if you take it early in the morning, you have a whole night of no vitamin C. And then you're not going to take any vitamin C for another 2 or 3 or 4 hours. And so that gives you a maximum time without vitamin C. And then you go ahead and take your vitamin C in the afternoon, and you get vitamin C and MMS both in the same day without them interfering much with one another.
One of the other evolutions, in my experience at least so far, as I've seen it, has been the move to the multiple intakes per day. You know, when I first started, it was one a day, for at least for me, and I got a lot of effect out of one a day. But of course, as far as I can tell, my challenges were minor compared to some of the challenges that many people are now attacking this with. So it's now commonplace that people are taking multiple intakes per day. So where are we in that area?
Better that way, because you distribute the strong level of chlorine dioxide to the body on a continuing basis all day long, as opposed to getting one big lump in the morning and then it dies out over the day. But if you're getting if you're taking multiple inputs, each input has just been mixed and just been prepared, and it's ready, and it has the strongest solution at that time and has the most chlorine dioxide in it at that time. So instead of taking one big batch all of a sudden, if you take it over the day, your body has more use of it. It's getting a stronger amount of chlorine dioxide over a day instead of one big batch in the morning, and it does a lot of good that way. But the body can take more thrown out over a day rather than just one batch all of a sudden. So what you need with cancer is just as much as you can get of that stuff. And I always said from the very beginning in the last 10 years that the basic overlying principle is if you're not getting well, you're not taking enough. And so I say how much to take in the protocol and everything, but again, if you're not getting well, you might go a step beyond the protocol sometimes. But the point is if you take it multiple times during the day, your body can take more of it. You're getting more in there. You're getting more stuff to attack that cancer. It's attacking it more often during the day, and so just generally, you're doing more damage to the cancer by taking it multiple times and then one big time.
Now that we're talking about essentially distributing the intake, if a person, for example, just take a number, is on 12 drops, are we talking basically about preparing a 12-drop intake, you know, with 12 drops of MMS and 12 times 5, 60 drops of the activator. Are we talking about doing that, say, 4 times a day, or are we talking about doing 3 drops of MMS with 15 drops of activator 4 times a day and shipping that? Or are we talking about something totally different?
You're talking about both. If you're taking 3 drops 3 times 4 times a day, you're getting 12 drops in a day. But generally, you can handle a lot more than that. So you're just taking more drops that way. Probably not getting to the point here. The point of it is the more the more of it you get into your body during a day's time, the better.
Okay.
And so you're wanting to up the amount of drops as high as you can get it without getting sick.
I see.
And you're gonna get sick. And so just realize that you're gonna get sick sooner or later when taking those drops. Or when you do get sick, don't consider it a bad indicator. It's a good indicator. You just want to back off a bit and say, okay, so you're taking 12 drops 3 times in a day and get sick on the last batch. Saying, all right, the next time you do it, you're going to take less than 12 drops, maybe 10 drops or 9 drops, but you're going to drop back a bit so you know that you've gotten some results, because being sick is definitely results from the MMS, because a person who don't have cancer or don't have anything wrong in his body doesn't get sick from 12 drops. It doesn't bother him.
Right.
So you know that the sickness is an indicator that you're doing something.
This is Adam Abraham, and you're listening to Talk for Food with my guest, Jim Humble, the developer of the MMS protocol. And we're talking about cancer and how it is being, let's say, addressed with this new protocol to open the door and talk a little bit more about cancer specifically. My first question is, give us an idea of some of the varieties of cancer that you're seeing or that you're aware of people using it. And I'm wondering, are the protocols pretty much the same regardless?
Prostate cancer has been the most prevalent. Lots and lots of guys have been taking it for prostate cancer, and most of them are succeeding. Most of them have done pretty good. The guy that lives not too far from me here down here in Mexico had a PSA reading of like 40 when he first started. Just the other day, he had a PSA reading of less than 1. He's been taking the MMS for about 3 months now, or maybe 4 months now, but I guess it's more like 4 months. But he just kept taking it, and he kept at it, and at first the PSA didn't even start down.
Mm-hmm.
And after he took it for 2 or 3 weeks, it started just creeping down a little bit. And then it started creeping down more and more and more until finally the other day he went to the VA, and it was less than 1.
Wow.
And he was feeling great. That's just one. The melanoma, the skin cancer, the one that's so dangerous that it kills so many people, that seems to be probably the easiest to handle using MMS. I've had many people call me and say their melanoma's gone, and they don't do anything except just take it by mouth. They don't put it on the melanoma or anything. Melanomas just have a tendency to just sort of dry up and turn into a scab. Scab falls off.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens with them. Other cancers, depending upon how far they've gone and how bad they are, whether or not that you have a health. But then there's several other things that I suggest that they go ahead and get, like the Indian herb and the Paradophilus, which I know several people who have taken, seems to have a great effect too. So if the MMS is not working, I suggest you go a couple of more steps and get several other things to really push it along.
Now, when you say not working, you're thinking in terms of roughly how much time having passed and having gotten a chance to see what effects. So are we talking a few weeks or what?
If it's not working in 3 weeks, if you don't feel like you're getting better, if you don't notice an improvement in 3 weeks, I would say that you better start increasing the amount of MMS that you're taking, or go into one of the other things. And I'm saying you don't quit taking MMS ever. You just add these other things to your regimen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that I really, really think that I've just run into lately on the internet. I think it's really good, and that is it's a test. It's a test to determine if you have cancer and how bad the cancer is. It gives you two readings. It gives a reading, do you have cancer or not? And secondly, how bad is it?
Okay.
And it's been approved by the FDA for more than 25 years.
Mm.
And the doctors don't recommend it because they don't make much money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they don't recommend it because it ain't dangerous. It's ridiculous to me that they have such a good test available and then that they would do a biopsy. I mean, that just don't make any sense to me at all because a biopsy is so dangerous, and yet they have this other test. So anyhow, you can get this test on the web,
mm-hmm.
and they will send you a kit for free. You can take your own blood smear. You send it to them, and for $165, they tell you whether you have cancer in your body or not. And they tell you how bad it is. So, and then if you take your MMS for 2 or 3 weeks and get another test, you can see whether you're getting better or not.
Yeah, that actually can give you a baseline to work from, first of all, and a before and after, too.
I think it's a great thing myself for people with cancer who want to know what kind of condition they are. And even if they don't take the MMS, even if they're just going to a doctor, and the doctor's talking about cancer, they should be doing their own test to find out if the doctor's telling them the truth.
That's for sure. Jim, what about some of the breast cancer and ovarian? Are you seeing many or aware of many people reporting using it for that?
There's a few reporting. They call up and ask about it and tell me that they're using it. I don't get many reporting back. Normally, I've always found that the ones that report back are the ones that don't get better. Usually, the people who get better are the ones who don't report back.
Mm-hmm.
When a person gets better, he feels so good, he goes about his life. He don't want to even think about the part of his life that was so bad. And so, quite often, people just don't report back.
Yeah, that's true. It's human nature sometimes to show up and talk about it when something's wrong, and when it's all worked out and fine, they just get on with the business of living, and so without a lot of feedback, you're right.
There's a lot of feedback I don't get on cancer. You'd probably be interested in one I got just the other day from Australia. I got this lady what had lung cancer, and the doctor had said, well, she was going to last 2 weeks, and she was a young lady, about 30, and they didn't expect her to live more than 2 weeks, and they had a birthday party for her because they didn't think that she was going to live to her birthday.
Mm.
And then somebody heard about the MMS, and so they started her on the MMS, and 9 days later she was up taking walks, and 11 days later she had driven the car down to the lake and walked around the lake, and the next day she ran a seminar.
Oh, my goodness.
And had plenty of energy to do it. So from 2 weeks to live to back running seminars,
yeah.
11 days is pretty darn good.
Yeah, from 2 weeks to live to living again.
That's right.
Amazing. Well, these are the types of situations that we're happy to be hearing about and for what people are willing to share in terms of the good news as well. We're certainly ready. Well, we're ready. We really want to learn about whatever. It's not about the good or the bad. It's really about growing this protocol and really establishing the efficacy of it, which I think it's doing on its own.
There are a lot of people who call me and a lot of people I know who have just gotten to the point where they can't take it anymore because of the bad taste.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I understand it because I've been taking it probably longer than anybody else, and it got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore either. I got to the point where I I'd rather be sick. And so I had to work on something that would make it possible for me to take it and other people to take it too. And what I finally worked out was that in the first place, you got to be very, very careful when you're trying to change the taste of it, because if you change the acidity level, you're going to cancel out the effect of it. You don't want to change the acidity level very much.
Right.
So what I finally worked out was that I could do the standard I would do the standard preparation that you do. Like if you take 6 drops, you add 30 drops of lemon juice or citric acid to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's 3 minutes, it's ready to put it into a half a glass of water. I would prepare that half a glass of water by putting 4 teaspoons of citric acid into it. And then I would use fructose, 2 rounded teaspoons of fructose stirred in there until it was completely dissolved. And then I would put my MMS in there. Well, what I had then is a half a glass of MMS in an acid condition that was perfect, and that was extremely bittersweet, and you could barely taste the MMS chlorine taste.
Okay.
So then instead of drinking it all down in one fell swoop, I sipped it for about 4 hours. And I did that when I had the flu, and believe it or not, I developed the flu on purpose just to see if it would work. And it did. And then I tried it many times since then, and I've had several other people try it, and it seems to work. If you just sip it for maybe 2 hours instead of just drinking it down,
mm-hmm.
it's much easier to handle than just pushing it all down at one time.
I can imagine.
Of course, if you take a pretty good sip, then you can wash it down with water, and it actually tastes kind of good.
I'll go with kind of good. That's all right.
Yeah.
You've clarified this on your website, too, about the chlorine dioxide itself lasting 2 hours. Because now you're talking about waiting up to 4 hours before you drink a full glass. So how do we reconcile that?
Well, of course, each particle of chlorine dioxide only lasts 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But the sodium chloride releases chlorine dioxide for a period of 12 hours. So and each particle is released, it lasts 2 hours, and then it goes away, or it goes off into the air. If it's in a glass, it goes off into the air, or it just comes apart and becomes a salt, regular table salt.
Mm-hmm.
But the sodium chloride just continues to release for the next 12 hours. So you don't have a problem with waiting for an hour or two for your next sip, because the strength of the solution remains just about the same, because as it gains too much strength or above a certain level, it just goes off into the air. So the strength can never get above a certain level, and then after after a few hours, it begins to release it. I mean, it begins to lose its power, but you'll have it all drank. If you're drinking it up in 2 or 3 hours, you'll have it all drank up by then.
So essentially, there's a cascade effect when you start this off. I was thinking in the beginning that it was 2 hours, you know, and that was it. But no, we're talking about something that happens in waves.
And sodium chloride has a peculiar ability to release chlorine dioxide on a linear basis.
Hmm.
In other words, it don't drop down to zero right away. It just drops down to zero on a continuous basis. And it will release chlorine dioxide for a couple of hours at least at exactly the same rate, as long as you don't change the acidity of the liquid. If the acidity remains the same, which you're not going to be changing it, as long as that acidity remains the same, the amount of chlorine that's released each minute is going to be exactly the same for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the strength is going to remain the same, because Well, it's going to go off into the air.
We're going to break for a minute here. This is Adam Abraham. You're listening to Talk for Food with Jim Humble, my guest, developer of the MMS protocol. When Talk for Food returns, we're going to discuss intake methods beyond oral and explore how MMS is being used. And after that, we're going to look at the question of straddling the fence. When people want to take chemotherapy and MMS, and try to work out what sense that makes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here on WebTalkRadio.net.
The new buzzword in hydration is structured water. Because when Mother Nature makes water ready for human intake, it is structured. Most of the water that we drink, no matter how thoroughly distilled, processed, or ionized, is not. When attached to a water line, utopic water structuring devices induce a natural transformation of water as though it had joyfully made its way down a mountain stream, picking up the energy and light that sustains life. Using no filters, electricity, or magnets, while relying on simple movement influenced by sacred geometry, utopic water structuring devices do something to water that only comes naturally. Deliver generous amounts of biophoton, or living light itself. Experience for yourself the difference when water becomes utopic. You can find utopic water structuring devices at shop.understanding-mms.com.
We come in all shapes and sizes, but for all our apparent differences, we share an important oneness.
I am my body,
not.
Now your child can discover the oneness behind human diversity with I Am My Body, Not, from Philos Books. This progressive book, written by Adam Abraham, helps parents and teachers introduce some of the most basic human concepts and questions. Celebrate the body and the spirit with I Am My Body, Not. Order now, just $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
I Am My Body, Not is available at Philos.com. That's PHAELOS.com. Order yours today.
Okay, we're back. This is Adam Abraham. You're listening to Talk for Food with my guest, Jim Humble, the developer of the MMS protocol and author of the book Breakthrough, Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century. And the fact is, if the results continue along the lines that we have seen people have, that title will actually be an understatement, I have to say. Jim, we are talking about cancer, and I'd like to start off this segment to talk a bit about some of the alternate intake methods, or because I mean, right now everything has been about so many drops and drink it and taking it orally. But that's really not the only way it can be taken. Is that correct?
Well, that's right. You can put it on the outside of the skin for numerous reasons. It kills bacteria or almost any kind of infection on the outside of the skin. And it can stop various types of infections that can be affected in your legs or your feet or cuts or bruises or whatever that might be infected. And you would just make a mixture about like you would drink, say, six drops, and you add the activator and you wait your 3 minutes and then you add the water. And now you dab that on the outside of the skin, wherever it might be, and that will kill the germs there. And you don't want to leave it on for a long time, though. You want to rinse it back off in a minute or two. Mm. You can use it on your head. Like a lot of people have a tendency, especially older people, have a tendency to get sores on their head.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just mix this up and just sort of comb it into your hair. And in the case of combing it into your hair, if you mix up a drink and you put three quarters of a glass of water in there in a six drop mixture, you can just comb it into your hair, and it'll flat out kill the sores on your head. And of course, you don't want to do this all the time because it'll give you some nice blonde hair. It's actually pretty blonde, but most people don't want to be blonde.
Mm-hmm.
But one or two times, it isn't going to do that. Just enough to kill the sores on your head won't be enough to bleach your hair any.
Mm.
There's one other thing that people almost never mention about putting it on the outside of the skin, and that is people or children who get really bad burns or medium burns.
Yeah.
You can take it and you can squeeze it. You can just shoot it full strength right on the burn, and you might, if it don't spread out all over, just take your fingers very, very gently and just spread it all over the burn. Only leave it on there for a minute, 30 seconds to 60 seconds, but no longer. Just make sure that it covers the burn and covers it well, and then you rinse it off with clean water and put your bandages and whatever on it. But the first thing that happens is the pain goes away right away. And so it'll kill most of the pain in a burn in seconds, maybe 60 seconds, and most all the pain is gone, and or if not all of it. And then you do your regular bandage on the burn. Don't put grease on there like people used to do. And it'll heal in about one quarter of the time that normally takes a burn to heal.
Wow, my goodness.
It increases the healing by a whole lot. And it decreases the pain almost instantly. So it's really valuable for burns.
As you were describing that, I was picturing the possibility of a small amount of a solution being in a little sprayer that would pump out a little aerosol of it. Do you think something like that would work in terms of applying it evenly to a surface like that?
I sure do. I think it would be plenty good. You could apply it over there, and you could spray it on heavy, pretty heavy,
mm-hmm.
and then you could just sort of wipe your finger over it really gently, so you're sort of pushing the stuff into the burn as you run your finger, but I mean real gently with your fingers, just barely pushing on it, making sure that it contacts everywhere, and then it sort of pushes into the burn a little bit, and wait less than 60 seconds and wash it off.
Mm.
And the pain will just go away. So, yes, that would be a real good idea if a person had that. And it would save a lot of lives if we ever get anybody to doing those sort of things.
Yours even saying this to me was a surprise, because I just somewhat really assumed that to make that type of contact, that it would probably exacerbate the pain as opposed to eliminate it. And so this is just a surprise even to hear.
Evidently, the pain is mostly caused by an acid that is created at the time of the burn.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're doing with this is it soaks in and it cancels out the acid, because it's actually before you add the lemon juice or the lime or the citric acid. It is highly alkaline. It's highly the opposite of acid. So I guess when you spray it on the burn, it just cancels the acid out. But whatever it does, it's really amazing. Yeah, the pain just goes away.
This is actually another correlation. I have compared MMS, chlorine dioxide, to calcium bentonite clay, which actually has many of the same characteristics in terms of how it works on the body in different ways too, but it's something that you could put on a burn and it would immediately take the pain away. And but it's a natural analgesic. But you're talking about acid, and maybe that's where the connection is, because I'm jumping around here for a second, but when we apply magnesium on the skin, say on an open wound, or not even an open wound, any place where there is a high acidity in the tissue, a burning sensation is something that you may definitely feel. Even though the magnesium is good for you, if it's a high acidity in that tissue, it's going to burn. But if you put clay on it, and now you're saying with the MMS, it's going to actually take that burn away. But it may be because it's neutralizing the acid, as you suggest. So that's topical, and that's a surprising new development. And this is part of the thing of continuing to learn and picture and see how this can work, and the benefits can be expanded upon. But I also understand that there have been some movements into using MMS intravenously.
Oh, yes. When I was in Africa, the doctor that I worked with there, I got him to using some MMS intravenously for the AIDS patients there.
Okay.
So we treated 390 AIDS patients by intravenous injection, and it worked pretty well. I mean, out of the 390, we were able to save 288 of them. So
wow.
It was satisfying experience.
I imagine by the time you got them, these people were already given up for traditional approaches.
The fact is, they were actually sent home from the hospital to die. The local hospital there was a very, very large hospital in Kampala, Uganda, and they sent home many every day to die, AIDS patients, lots of AIDS patients over there. And so, of course, my doctor was known over at the hospital. We were able to get a number of them to come over to our place. And so those were the ones we treated, the ones who were sent home to die. So believe it or not, 60% of them were well in 3 days. When I say well, I got up and said, look, I feel good. I want to go home. I'm tired of sitting around here. And so there wasn't anything we could do but let them go home. We didn't have any way of testing them to determine whether AIDS was gone or not, but they were certainly feeling good, and they certainly went back to their lives, which was a lot better than dying. So it was pretty successful.
Moving back into the area of cancer, there are people who are, I'd have to say, I don't know if it's straddling the fence or however you want to say it, but there are people who are taking chemotherapy. They're taking traditional treatments, and at the same time, they are either considering or actually taking MMS too. What's your take on that?
I get a lot of people who call me up and who say they're going to do both, and I have not heard of any damage that it does. The MMS builds the immune system up. The chemotherapy tears the immune system down.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, if you put them together, you get no bad effects. But I would be worried myself that the chemotherapy was doing more damage than the MMS was doing good. But at least that we haven't been able to see anything that is adverse. In other words, there's been no evidence that taking the two of them together creates any more damage than taking the one by itself.
Okay, well, so that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it might be that it just, by doing both of them, would tend to just keep the person right where they are. Is there evidence that they are getting rid of their cancer or that they're getting well? Or, I mean, if their immune system is being taken down and then being built back up, how do they become well?
I don't know that they do. Actually, I've been looking at a lot of the different information on the internet about different things that they're doing with cancer, and I can't find any evidence that chemotherapy helps anybody at all. And it depends upon how you read the data, but the way I read the data and the way I see it, I can't see any evidence that it's helping anybody at all. And I know they get really, really excited if they can get a cancer patient to live 2 months longer. In other words, live in 12 months instead of living 8 months. Personally, I would, instead of trying for 2 months, I'd be trying for 20 years, you know.
Well, I agree.
Don't make much sense.
I agree. The other thing, too, is that additional 2 months is not being lived with energy and with vitality and with life. It's being lived by breathing, you know, and just continuing to manage your way through and cling to life or to the semblance of it. And that's a far cry from looking forward to living again and actually doing it.
That certainly is true. And I'm down here in Mexico at a clinic, and a lot of people come after chemotherapy and after being butchered by the doctors, and it's so sad to see people in such bad shape, and most of them are killed by the doctors. They come down here and they die from the cutting and the chemo. The cancer isn't really what gets them. It just ain't. If they hadn't had either one of those, they might die from the cancer, but they'd have sure lived a lot longer with a lot less pain.
I think perhaps many people still don't realize that if the poisons that are in the body are removed, that the body, it's, and I guess there's two things. If the poisons are removed and the body is giving the nourishment, the minerals and the nutrition that it needs to actually function properly, the body can actually return. It has a remarkable capacity to return to health. If a person really understood that, I don't really see how they would allow themselves to keep taking poison just to go on a roller coaster of, okay, up my immune system, down, up and down and up and down, as opposed to just simply, here's a method to remove toxins from the body, whether it's chemotherapy, a residue, whether it's parasites, whether it's whatever those things are, here's a way to cleanse the body of those things. And then if there's also the mineral nourishment as well, they have an excellent chance to actually be looking at those 20 years again, as opposed to just trying to get by.
As opposed to another 2 months.
Exactly.
You're listening to Talk for Food here on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm Adam Abraham, and my guest is Jim Humble, author of Breakthrough, Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, and developer of the MMS protocol that is making quite the storm of conversation and contemplation and actually raising rays of hope in the minds and the discussions of many people around the world.
But the fact is, not a lot of people yet are making it an imperative to simply do an internal cleanse, clear out the toxins, clear out the heavy metals, do that kind of clearing, unblock the the bladders and the dissolve the stone and get the flow going back in their bodies. But their body has an ability to regenerate nerve endings to actually be vibrant again.
Absolutely, the body has the ability to do all of that. If you can, like you say, if you can get a lot of those toxins cleansed out, and the MMS is one way of getting the toxins out, and that helps a lot, and it works on the toxins, but there are other methods of working on the toxins too, so that's basically what you need to do.
Just the whole idea of trying to take the MMS and to take chemotherapy at some point in time, if they just grasp the idea that putting more poisons in just tends to maintain the status quo, even if you're pulling them out, it's a kind of a merry-go-round that's not going to take you where you want to go.
That's absolutely true, and it really doesn't make sense to use the drugs that they use, the chemotherapy and the cutting surgery is just it's so bad. It's unbelievable. And it's been proven, and there's books on it to show you that you should never cut into a cancer, period. It's no kind of a cancer, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been written up and proven and shown and everything else, but people just can't get away from modern doctors. They've got to. But the fact is you can prove it. I mean, you can prove it to them in all kinds of tests and all kinds of evidence, but they still listen to the doctor.
Well, you know, it starts to make sense now when you talk about that it's not wise to cut and try to just remove a cancer, because the environment, the tissue that the cancer is growing in, is like soil, if you will. It's also, and because it's acidic, it's fertile. for the cancer. Otherwise, the cancer wouldn't be growing there in the first place. So if you just cut it out and the soil is the same, it's just as acidic as it was, it makes sense that all the only thing's going to happen is that it's just going to grow back.
And worse than that, it usually spreads it all over the place.
Well, yeah, because the conditions, the acidic conditions, whatever you want to call it, that makes the tissue and that part of the body conducive for growing cancer will not have changed in most likelihood, especially if they're putting more radiation or chemotherapy or whatever else in there. They're making it even more conducive for its regrowth. Then, it makes sense that it's not, that it'll spread even further.
For 100 years, the treatment that the medical people have had for cancer has not changed. They still use chemotherapy. They still use radiation. They still use surgery. It's all the same. They've improved a few things, like the equipment that they're using. They improve the timers that they use to time it with. They may even improve the oxygen that you breathe. Mm-hmm. But they haven't improved the treatment of cancer.
It's up to us, one, to educate ourselves and to become more aware of really the ramifications of the actions not only that we're taking to create the likelihood of cancer, but also actions we can take to mitigate those possibilities as well. And clearly, MMS is showing itself to be one tool that you talk about the American Express card not leaving home without it. Well, there should be no home without this, that's for sure.
It should be everywhere.
With that in mind, first of all, I want to thank Jim for joining us again. What's fascinating about this process, and for our listeners, is that each time we talk, things have changed, and this is an evolution, and it's really nice. I'm aware that things are different. They're a bit more focused. They're a bit more definitive. And yet all along people are being helped. But we're part of this evolution, and it's really fascinating to be in the middle of it. So, Jim, I want to thank you for everything you've done in making this possible, and what you're continuing to do, because you're continuing the research. You're working with doctors and clinics to really continue. One, to use it and to understand and to actually make this grow.
What more can I say? That's it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, for our listeners, you can get Jim Humble's book at miraclemineral.org. You can get it in an ebook version, or now a hard copy is available, an expanded hard copy, and learn about MMS and this protocol. Because we all know someone, if it's not ourselves, we all know someone who would really benefit by this and probably would love to know. In addition, the information that Jim gave about the cancer test that's available, how to make the MMS taste better, as well as contact information for the Indian Herb Lady, are all available on miraclemineral.org. That's miraclemineral.org. Check it out. You know, I'm really happy to have made the contact with Jim Humble, and it's amazing to see the progress and really be enthused by it. A lot of people are very cautious in their enthusiasm, and this is a place where I'm inclined not to hold back on that enthusiasm, because when we keep giving ourselves reasons not to let go and not to allow the fullness of our joy to come through, we tend to create, or eventually something comes up which just justifies why we held back in the first place. And then we never experience that joy. Are you like that? Do you hold back waiting for the right moment to just be you, just to be honest, just to be unburden by something that hasn't come out and hasn't been expressed? Well, I think that's part of what goes into the formation of our diseases, because we make habits out of those behaviors, and they become patterns, and we forget about the pattern, and we just keep doing it without thinking about it. But when you stifle your joy, you stifle your creativity, you stifle your expression of your unique you-ness, well, the fact is, we're always going to express ourselves uniquely, and it's always going to be uniquely us, but it's not necessarily going to be satisfactory to us. We're not necessarily going to enjoy what we're doing or what we're expressing or what we're even involved in. And we won't even enjoy the reasons why. And this is the unseen side of disease, beyond even the atoms and even the cells that are cancerous or acidic. And this is more subtle than that. You can't touch. You can't even put these things under microscopes, because beliefs and thoughts, ideas are beyond measure, and yet they exist where reality begins. So in our talking about cancer and disease and illness, not only here with Jim today, but in conversations to come, we want to cover and be mindful of the mental and the spiritual components and contributors to how we see things, because how we see things is a function of what we will allow to happen to us, especially when we don't see ourselves as the creators of what's happening. It's a hard thing to say sometimes. It's definitely a hard pill to take, to be told, or to be even have the suggestion that we are creating our reality, including the pain that we may be feeling right now. But until you can say that without guilt, until you can hear that idea without feeling blamed and without wanting to send blame in another direction, when you're willing to accept the idea that, yeah, all right, I did this. Not only that, I am doing this. It's only then that you have the ability, that you set in motion the ability to change it. You know, as long as we think someone else is controlling our life and is influencing our behavior and making us do things, we remain unconscious creators of our experience. The moment we allow ourselves to accept that it's really our doing, our choices are really our choices, this moment, this experience is really the result of my choices, then I become conscious as a creator. We're always a creator. We're not always conscious. Our experience is uniquely ours, and our bodies are always listening. Every cell of our body is listening to what our wish may be. They are little genies wanting to fulfill our wishes, and their understanding of what's going on within us may not always coincide with what we want to have happen. But as we continue with these conversations, I want to thank you for listening. We will have more people come on, and we will continue this subject, and we'll continue the exploration into who we are and to how we can go from where we are to where we want to be. But it begins by accepting and loving this moment right here and right now. This is Adam Abraham. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you tune in to our next edition of Talk for Food here on WebTalkRadio.net.
Talk for Food is a Philos Media Works production.